It's the moment you have all been waiting for. You didn't even know it. Welcome to Reckless Battleborn, the podcast. It's Thursday. I know it's been a couple days since I put out an episode. I probably should put one out yesterday talking about the Golden Knights. But I'm doing that tonight, and then there's a game tonight. I might do one tomorrow if I have enough time. Life has been busy, my friends. So, well, what are we going to talk about today? Well, for sure, Golden Knights. Then who knows where the conversation goes? But let's start with the Golden Knights, shall we? So, do we want to talk about the game first or the news that broke today, but that the Golden Knights found out about yesterday? And yeah, let's talk about that. Valentin Zhukov. I was talking praises about this kid in preseason and in the early games, and then he kind of just started trickling off. Like, he just hasn't been producing much lately, right? Yeah, he is suspended for 20 games for substance abuse, performance-enhancing drugs, breaking the policy of the league. His current stats for the season are he's a negative one on the plus minus, 2 points, that's two assists, 7 games played, 2 penalty minutes, and 7 shots. Not very productive. 7 games, 7 shots, negative one. Oh. Yeah, that sucks. So, what happened? Well, the Golden Knights released a statement today saying that he suspended 20 games for knowingly taking substances that are against the rules. One of the things I don't think a lot of people realize about the Golden Knights is that they are very active in following what their players put into their bodies. They want any supplements you take, any food or anything, they want to know what's in it. If you're taking supplements, they want to be the ones that you're taking them from so that they can be positive nothing's in them. If you're taking protein off the shelf, you know, picking it up at Walmart and Dick's Sporting Goods or what have you, GMC, that could have contaminants in it. And contaminants show up on your drug test. And when it shows up on your drug test, you get a 20-game suspension. Now, how is this different than Nate Schmidt last season, who also took a 20-game suspension and had the backing of the Golden Knights the entire time? Well, Nate Schmidt followed the Golden Knights protocol, and he had what's called an infinitesimal amount in his system. Still enough to technically fail the drug test, but it could have been an environmental thing. You can get it in your system if you're working out at the gym and some dude that's hopped up on roids is sweating on a machine, doesn't wipe it down, you sitting his sweat multiple times and you absorb it through your skin. Now, is that going to be enough to affect your game? No, but is it enough to show up on a drug test? It could happen. I'm not saying that's what happened, but it could happen. Now, Schmidt went over everything and tried his darndest to figure out where it came from, and there was no known reason as to how it would have gotten in his system. Zhukov, on the other hand, freely admitted that he was taking over-the-counter supplements. That's not from the team. The team's not going to back you if you're taking something that they don't know what's in it. So Zhukov has taken a 20-game suspension. The team's not fighting for that to be less. It's on Zhukov. And if you listen to George McPhee today in the press conference, as he put it, when his 20-game suspension is up, we'll see where the team's at. That doesn't sound too promising as this young guy gets to have a spot back on the team when he comes back. We're calling up, I think Peary is taking his spot tonight, and Peary does, as according to Gerard Gallant, Peary does everything Zykov does as well, so it's not really that big of a loss. We have someone there that does the exact same. So, if Peary produces over these next 20 games, my money would be on that we won't see Zykov on the lineup the rest of the season. I'm not saying that, you know, he's going to be out of the NHL, but, you know, George McPhee did say, you know, trades happen and things like that. So, who knows where Zykov lands? He might land on the team. He might land in the WHL. He might go over to Russia. He might get traded. Who knows at this moment? It's really early on to know, but if the team is doing well without him, I can't see them bringing him back, to be honest. That's my two cents on the subject, which is sad because he did have some high energy in the preseason, and I would have liked to have seen that translate, but it just never seemed to pick up. So, let's go into the game against the Predators real quick, shall we? Let's start talking about that. The game happened on the 15th. Today is the 17th, so that was 2 days ago. I should have talked about it yesterday, but I was tired. So let's talk about it now. Game starts off, as it always does, with a puck drop in the T-Mobile Arena. And 2 minutes and 14 seconds later, Kyle Turris puts one in the net. And that's with an assist from Ellis and Grimaldi. The defensemen that were on the ice at that time were Braden McNabb and Shea Theodore. If you watch that goal, Theodore is right where he's supposed to be, trying to clear traffic in the front of the net. Braden McNabb is shortly behind him, and basically it seems like Theodore didn't get traffic cleared quick enough. Fleury couldn't see the puck. The puck went in. Nobody was really doing anything wrong. Everybody was doing what they were supposed to do. It just happens. The puck went in because Fleury couldn't see it. It wasn't that McNabb wasn't doing his job, and it wasn't that Theodore wasn't doing theirs. It's just the puck went in. Theodore was clearly trying to clear traffic, and McNabb was holding his backside, which is what they're supposed to do. They scored. It happens. That sucks, right? Start off the game 2 minutes and 14 seconds in, and we're down one zip. And then we go on the power play, and Mark Stone puts one in at 9 minutes and 55 seconds. Ties it up. And he was assisted by Glass and Stastny. And that was a pretty good goal. And it was great to see. Mark Stone is a wild man. I love watching this guy on the ice. He's quickly becoming one of my more favorite players. All right, so we continue on in the first period, and 17 minutes and 23 seconds in, Riley Smith puts one off into the goal to put us ahead 2-1 with an assist from Marsessault and Carlson. It was a great play. He just was in the right place at the right time, got the rebound, and into the net it went. And if the game ended at the first period, boy, would we be happy. However, we still have the second and the third period to talk about. And unfortunately, Riley Smith's goal was the last goal for the Golden Knights. Yep. So, going into the second period, 44 seconds into the second, Colton Sissons, with an assist from Bonino, puts one in. That sucks. We continue on. 5:08, second. Kale Jark. Yeah. I can never say this guy's name. But, yeah, he puts one in. With an assist from Yoshi and Arvidsson. And then Philip Forsberg puts one in at 6:52, unassisted. And then we go into the third, and Bonino just puts the nail in our coffin with that last goal, the fifth goal of the night for the Predators, making it 5-2. Bonino was assisted with Turris and Ellis. And that was a power play goal. That was, I think, his fifth game at the power play goal, if I remember right. So, Golden Knights lost. And they lost handedly. The The Predators really gave it to us that second and third period. And that sucks a lot. But there were some high points in the game for the Knights. Let's talk about some penalties and possible high points, if you will. And then we'll go into the stats. So, 3 minutes and 34 seconds in, Braden McNabb takes a penalty for tripping against Craig Smith. Braden McNabb has been taking a lot of penalties lately. And they're all easily avoided, I think. But, hey, what are you going to do? So, yeah, that happens. And then Matthias Ekholm cross-checks against Paul Stastny, giving us the power play, which gives us the power play goal with Mark Stone. And then Roman Josi fighting against Mark Stone goes in at 18 minutes and 13 seconds, and Mark Stone fighting against Roman Josi at 18 minutes and 13 seconds. What happened here? They're jawing at each other in front of the goal. Josi pushed Stone. Stone pushed back. Josi jawed some more. Stone drops his gloves. Josi drops his gloves. Stone puts Josi out with a punch. One punch. Josi goes limp. I don't think he got knocked out, but he went limp and went to the ice, and Stone came up looking like a wild man. I love it. All right. Unconfirmed reports, meaning I've heard that it's the truth, but I have yet to find any evidence of it. Unconfirmed is that Mark Stone may have broken his nose. Roman Josi's nose, that is. I think that's awesome. You know, Mark Stone has only had 3 fights in the NHL, and this one was over in an instant. And if it's because he broke Roman Josi's nose, hey, then you know what? You can't get on Josi for going limp so quick. But I don't know for sure if he did break his nose, but when Josi was going off the ice, he did have a nice little bit of blood coming off the bridge of his nose. So it could be, but in all likelihood, it's kind of hard to break a nose with a punch, with a punch, singular, on ice while, you know, all your punching pushes them away from you. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but I'm saying it's unlikely. But if it is true, that's cool. Anyway, on to the second for the penalties. Max Pacioretty takes an interference against Matt Duchene at 1 minute and 28 seconds into the second. And Philip Forsberg gets an interference against Mark Stone. It's 12 minutes and 57. Dante Fabrio holding against Valentin Zhukov. 17 minutes and 28 seconds. 19 minutes and 42 seconds. Too many men on the ice. Golden Knights. Valentin Zhukov serves that penalty. Going to the third. And Braden McNabb goes into the box for holding against Matt Duchene. And this leads to Bonino's goal. Yeah, that sucks. And then Valentin Zhukov cross-check against Dante Fabro. 12 minutes and 44 seconds in. 15 minutes and 12 seconds in. Nashville takes a penalty when Dan Huminis fighting against Max Pacioretty. And Max Pacioretty takes one for fighting against Dan Hamuis. Golly, these Predator names suck, you guys. But, and then 19 minutes and 22 seconds, Nick Bonino takes a penalty for holding against Cody Glass. And that's the end of our pain in penalties. Shots on goal. Nashville has 10 in the first, 12 in the second. Third period saw 17 shots. Vegas Golden Knights had 18 in the first, 9 in the second, and 8 in the third, with 35 shots total for Vegas and 39 total for Nashville. It just was not our night. We're fairly close in shots. We had one less power play. And boy, did we hit them a whole lot more than they hit us. But dang it if they did not win that game. That's right. We had 35 shots on goal to their 39. They had 5 power play opportunities and they scored on 1. We had 4 power play opportunities and we scored on 1. We had 20 minutes in the box while they had 18 minutes in the box. We had 41 hits to their 28. 19 blocks from them and 14 from us. They ended the night with every single one of their players in the positive or breaking even in the plus-minus. Turris, Forberg, Sissons, Benino, Smith, Jarnkrok, J-A-R-N-K-R-O-K. Goodness gracious, my mouth does not want to pronounce that. Arvidsson, and Granlund, and Duchesne. And Weber and Yossi all ended with a +1, where Ekholm and Ellis and Bonino and Turris all ended. Oh, no, sorry. No, it was just Ellis and Ekholm ended the night with a plus-minus of a +2, where everybody else ended even. The Golden Knights, on the other hand, ended the night with several players in the negative and only a few in the positive. And by a few, I mean 2. 2 in the positive, a couple broke even, and everybody else ended in the negative. Let's see. We had Riley Smith end with a +1, William Karlsson with a +1, and that's the end of our pluses. We had Haig in England and Marsessault and Eakin and Glass and Zikov all ending even for the night on the plus minus, while Stastny, Carrier, Stone, Reeves, Nosek, McNabb, and Theodore all ended in the -2. Theodore and McNabb were both kind of involved with several of the scoring chances. I wouldn't say that any of it was really their fault, other than when McNabb went to the box. That sucks. You don't go to the box when you're that far behind and give them a scoring opportunity when you're one of the better defensemen on the ice, McNabb. Yes, McNabb is one of the better defensemen. And while I'm at it, I'm kind of tired of the England-Haig experiment going on right now. I would love to see Schmidt back on the ice, all right? Haig is a good kid. He's learning. The problem is he's just not learning fast enough, I think, on defense at the moment. He needs to get some more development in there because England can't do it on his own. And there was several times where Haig was too far away to do any good on defense. And I'll leave it at that for my criticism of Haig and everything. But the rest of the team ended on a -1 for the night. And that sucks a lot. So the team took a massive hit against the Predators. And tonight they are facing the Senators. And I will talk about something shortly after this break. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the show. If you are, feel free to drop an email. That's going to be easiest to email us at recklessbattleborn@gmail.com. Yeah, that's reckless. You know what? It's reckless. Just reckless battleborn, just like the title of the podcast. You found the podcast? Find the email. It's at gmail.com. recklessbattleborn@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on any of the social medias, every one of them so far that we got, at Reckless Battle. Simple. Every one of them. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Reckless Battle. Simple, easy peasy. Every one of them, at Reckless Battle. Make it easy on yourself. As I add them, I'm going to try to add them all as at Reckless Battle. Well, we talked about hockey. Now let's talk about a spooky story, shall we? I think that's a good time. This one is a genuinely spooky story. So if that's not something that appeals to you, feel free to click away now. It's not one of those light ones that I've told before where, you know, nothing really creepy happened. It was just kind of one of those, oh, cool, or funny coincidences. This one involves what I would term a demon, if you remember my definitions. And it did ruin one of my friendships. There is a person that refuses to talk to me anymore because of the experience that involved, that happened in this story that they were there for. And so, yeah, that's a thing. So, if you are easily creeped out, go ahead and skedaddle out of here. I won't blame you. I'm gonna give you a five count, okay? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we're going into it. All right, so here in Las Vegas, there is, well, in Henderson, of course. And if you're from Henderson, you know the reference. But here in Henderson, which is part of the greater Las Vegas Valley, the greater Las Vegas metropolitan area, in the Green Valley area of Henderson, there is a park known as the Fox Ridge Park. And there is a legend that goes with this park that is a local legend that a child died. There are several different stories that go with this legend, but basically it amounts to some child died near or in this park, and their ghost haunts the park to this day. However, I've never been able to find anything to back up the story of this child dying. I've heard a story where he was waiting on the swings for his mom, and his mom died in a bus accident, and he sat there and waited, and then he died of exposure. It's Henderson, Las Vegas. It gets, at the coldest time of year, maybe into the 20s. And I'm pretty sure that if a child is sitting alone on the swings in a park, when the weather's getting cold, someone's going to talk to him. So I think that one's not true. And I've never found a bus accident, you know, story relating to a child or whatever either. And then there's also a story that there was a child who crossed the street in front of the park and got hit by a car and died. Also, I've never been able to find any information on this as well. But if you do have that information and you know, want to share that story with me, cool. You know my email. I just told you during the break where my email is, and it's down in the description. Send that stuff over to me. I'd love to see it. But let's get into the story, shall we? So basically the story is that there's this child ghost that haunts this park, amongst other ghosts as well, and I have seen several different things in this park. But the story is that there's this child ghost, and I contend that it is not actually a child ghost as much as it is a demon, because of something that I saw. And this has happened on several occasions that I've seen something in this park. So let's start from the tamest, the first time, and some other times that I've gone there and things that have been seen. And then we'll talk about some of the other ones. And the one that ruined a friendship. And when I say that it ruined a friendship, I won't even say the guy's name in the story, just out of, you know, whatever. But some of the friends that I do mention, I will mention in reality by name, because, you know, it's funny and they were there. And some of the friends that I might not have run this story by, I'll still change their name just for their comfort and whatever. I'm gonna use names. If it's your name and you know you were there, then it was you. And if it's a name and you know that that's probably you, but that's not actually your name, I just didn't run it by you or whatever, and I didn't think that you wanted to be involved. So we'll leave it at that. So in this park, there is a swing set, and there's kind of like an amphitheater, like staged seating that goes down to like a bowl area from the swings. And there's walking trails, and there's this big, big pine tree, like probably about 40 to 50 feet away from the swing sets. That's on top of this kind of hill that you crest over if you're walking from the parking lot of the church that's across the street next door, which is a good place to park if you're visiting the park. because there's no real parking spaces over there sometimes. Anyway, so you kind of have a gist of the layout, and on the other side of the swings from the tree is where the restrooms are at. And it's kind of set up in such a way that you might end up getting some strange wind, like when running around that bowl section and causing wind coming from a weird direction when it probably shouldn't. And I'm telling you all of this because one of the reports is that one of the swings swings independently at a certain time at night. It'll swing independently as if a child is swinging on it while the one next to it is staying completely stationary. And that's the story that I was told that intrigued me to go check out this park. I'm like, I bet there's wind that comes from a certain way. I bet you it's just the wind screwing with people, right? So me and some friends go out there and we're waiting around and we're looking about. And there's all kinds of like weird shadows throughout the entire park that, you know, you can attribute to trees. But then when you see a shadow that runs across an open field, that is not a tree. And that's happening a lot this first night that me and some friends go and check this place out. One of my friends, she is really getting creeped out because she keeps on seeing things run across an open field. And yeah, freaks her out. So the time comes and this swing starts swinging by itself, just as we were told would happen. So I walk up to it and I walk all around it and there is absolutely no wind, which is pretty much the only reason I could find for something swinging on its own is it's being blown by the wind. Couldn't find any wind, couldn't find any cause for that, and I just chalked it up to, man, that's weird. Okay. And because it was weird, I told other friends about it and was like, hey, you should go check this out. The swing was swinging when I was there, and if you see it swing, you know, independently, see if you can find where a source of wind or something is coming from, because I couldn't find a reason for it. So I sent a couple groups of friends out, and they all were like, oh, no, you know, I didn't see anything, or no, the swings didn't swing. And I had one friend that was like, oh, yeah, totally saw it swing, dude. Couldn't find the wind either. All right, cool. I'm going to go back and look again. Tell my friend, hey, man, you want to come with me? Tell him all about this. He's like, super skeptic. Sure, why not? There's not going to be Jack there, right? Tell him the whole story about, you know, how the swing swings and all that. And we show up to the park that night. And we crest over the hill. And we're running late. It's about, like, right at the time that the swing is supposed to swing. And I'm getting like, dang, dude, hurry up. We're like running late. We're going to miss it. You know, when we get to the top of the hill where this pine tree is, and there is a child sitting on the swing. This child looks to be maybe 6 or 7, right? He's sitting on the swing and he's looking at his feet. His back is towards us and he's wearing overalls and he has a red and white striped shirt. And he has kind of like a dirty blonde hair color, bowl cut. And he's looking at his feet and he's just kind of forlornly swinging on the swing like he's sad or that, you know, he's waiting for somebody. And I had forgotten the part of the story about the child waiting for someone. Completely forgot about it. Left my mind, didn't think about it. I see this kid sitting on the swing and I'm like, this little jerk is sitting on the swing that is supposed to be swinging. And my skeptic friend is never going to come see anything ever again because, oh, there's just some kid sitting on it, right? Well, my skeptic friend sees a kid at, you know, night, late night, by himself, which is past 11, by himself on a swing, and his mind goes, this ain't right. Something's wrong here. I'm scared. And he freezes at the tree, and he's like, nah, dude, I ain't going over there. I don't understand why initially, because what's a kid gonna do? It's not scary, you know? So he's freaking out and he's like, no, I'm staying right here. And I'm like, I'm gonna go tell this kid to get off the swing so we can see if it swings by himself. Yeah, probably shouldn't have done that because I walk up, right? And I'm about a foot or two or three away from this kid. Off the side of his right shoulder, like diagonally from his right shoulder. And I go, "Hey kid, what are you doing here by yourself? Why are you on the swings?" No response. Nothing. "Hey kid." And after I say, "Hey kid," the second time, his head lifts up and he's looking forward. Just like he realized something, right? Like a kid sitting up when they realize something. And then his head pivots. And when I say his head pivots, I mean his head, not his shoulders, not his body. Like any normal human being, when you say something to them behind them where they turn and look and their shoulder goes with, no, his shoulder stayed stationary and his head turned. And this was freaking weird. All right, because his head turns basically like an owl. And I'm like, "Oh, that's not normal." And he looks me straight in the face and he has like red X's, kind of, if I'm remembering right, where his eyes were. It was basically just a freaking scary thing. If you were a fan of the band Disturbed in the late 90s, early 2000s, one of their albums had a like really toothy smiley face drawing on it, and I think it's the band's symbol, but that's essentially what this child's face looked like. I mean, it wasn't like a dead ringer for it, but it was just nothing but teeth and dead, not really eyes for eyes. Smiled at me, looked, as far as I could tell, because, you know, there weren't really any eyes, straight at me, and then in an instant, he was gone. Just gone. Didn't stand up from the swing and run away. Nothing. Just disappeared. Gone. Bye-bye. And I'm standing there like, "Huh. That's different." At this point in time, I hadn't experienced anything like that. I had experienced things that I'll tell in other stories further down the road. But I had never seen a full-body thing just disappear. Freaked me out a little bit, not gonna lie. But I didn't like scream, I didn't run away. I just kind of stood there in one of those like, I don't know what just happened. I couldn't explain it. I want to explain it. To this day, I would still love to have an explanation for it, but I don't. And so that's why this falls into the category of, this was probably a demon. So on to where the friendship was ruined. So, I start walking over to my friend who I had left at the pine tree. And he is now the color of a sheet of paper. Absolutely scared out of his mind. His pants now smell of urine. And there is a puddle on the ground at the base of the tree. I'll let you add up what he did. He's babbling nonsensically, and I'm like, "All right, yeah, let's go." And he gets in the car, I drop him off in the car, he never says a word to me, I drop him off, and I have not heard from him since. I don't blame him. It's a freaking weird thing, and it was scary for someone who's never seen something like that before, and scary for someone who has seen something like that before. Yeah. So, if you ever are in the Las Vegas area and you get the urge to go to Fox Ridge Park, I would recommend not going with more than two or three people, because I've gone with groups of two, I've gone with groups of three, and we've seen stuff. I've gone with groups of 4 to 10, and nothing has happened there. So if you do want to go check it out with a small group, feel free. But if there's a child sitting on the swing, let him be. Stay away from him. If the swing is swinging, stay away from it. Just don't deal with that stuff. It's creepy, it's weird, and probably not the best situation to be in. I still don't know what happened. Still don't know what caused it. But, you know, there were other times where we'd been there, and I that's not the only time I've seen that child. I've seen that child 3 times since then. And I have had a friend who had gone to the park by himself, where I hadn't told the story of this little child. And he had come a couple days later to me and was like, "Hey, man, have you seen a kid at that park?" "Yeah." "Did he have a bowl cut?" "Yeah." "What was he wearing?" "I'm not going to tell you. You tell me." And he describes him exactly as I remembered him. And he was freaked out by the kid as well. So, I've seen this child 4 times. I have a friend who has seen him on his own without any prompting from me as to what the child looked like and be able to recall him as well. It's freaking weird. I don't know what's going on there, but it's kind of an interesting place if you're into that kind of thing. All right. So that is that ghost story. I'll talk about some more ghost stories because the 31st is coming up and ghost stories are fun. But that is all the time we have for today. There is a Predators game tonight versus, or not a Predators game, I'm sorry. There is a Senators game versus the Golden Knights tonight. And I will be talking about that tomorrow if I can find the time to record tomorrow. And you know what? I'll probably talk about another ghost story tomorrow. Or maybe I will talk about Disney. I don't know. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But with all that being said, let me know what you think about the Zekov situation. About the Golden Knights game. And have you ever seen anything like what I described in that ghost story? If you have, or even if you have information specifically about that park, or what may cause that, or even articles on a child that died around there that may be evidence for a child dying around there, let me know. I want to know. I would love to check that off as a, this is what happened there, instead of being like, I think that might have been a demon. I'd love for that to go away from my list of ghost stories of like, I don't know what happened. But with that being said, if you enjoyed today's episode, as always, share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your enemies. I don't care. Just share. And we'll see you on the next one. Yeah.